Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Marion Bartoli.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
This is Yannick Noah, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Well, 24 hours ago, we were talking about how the United States of America had lost to Victoria Koshmova. Well, things have turned around pretty dramatically. I think the United States as a nation and as a Billie Jean King Cup team have taken that rather personally. And they have come out and they have thumped Spain in straight sets in both of their singles to reach the semifinals. And Matt has been there courtside throughout the day in Prague. And that was really something, wasn't it, from that American team? I mean, let's start with the players that have actually won those two matches, Sloane Stephens and then Danielle Collins winning through in straight sets. And the most recent of those two was Danielle Collins, who has just beaten Sara Cerebes-Tormo, who is a proper tennis player, for the loss of a single game. And I mean, I think we said a couple of days ago, that she was just in really good form and there was intent all over her, Matt. But this one, I mean, it was reminiscent of what Emma Raducanu did to the same player at the US Open.
Yeah, and I put that to Danielle Collins. I said, Sara Cerebes-Tormo has been one of the toughest players to beat. The only other time I've actually seen her get thrashed like that was against Emma Raducanu at the US Open. Did you watch it? Did you take inspiration from it? And she said, no, I didn't watch it. I have my own game plan, my own tactics, you know, fair enough. But yeah, I mean, she also said that it was one of those rare days where everything just comes together. It was just, you know, she basically said it was a perfect match from her side, executed everything she wanted to brilliantly. And you're just so pleased as a tennis player when you have a day like that, because I think, you know, she recognized it was rare, perfect performance, everything just as she wanted, and she's absolutely crushed Cerebes-Tormo. Mm.
And yet it was so reminiscent of that Raducanu win that I was the one who said to you, you weren't able to watch the first sort of set of that match because you were talking to Sloane Stephens, who'd won the previous match. And that was my question, really. I said, you know, this looks like somebody who has taken inspiration from that type of performance, not the scoreline as much as the method of playing. And I often don't take a lot from some of the on-screen graphics that we get from broadcasters. I mean, they're often sort of very well presented and interesting, but I sometimes struggle to really understand the trends that I'm being given. But on this one particular graphic, they showed the court placements of the two players relative within the court. And Cerebes-Tormo had 0% of contact points inside the baseline after a set and a half. Whereas Danielle Collins had more than 60% of her shots being struck inside the baseline. That's how much she was crowding her opponents. And it was an incredible performance. And what really amused me was the look that was going on between the US captain, Cathy Rinaldi, and Danielle Collins. Rinaldi was loving this performance. She was, I don't think I really remember her that much as a player, but in terms of body language and a sort of Billie Jean King Cup style team performance, that is what she is demanding of her players. That is what she She looked like the cat who'd got the cream while she was watching it. She just couldn't get enough of watching Collins just mullering the ball and just destroying her opponent. And I did wonder whether there might have been a bit of extra on everything because of what went on last night and the fact that they thought they should have won that tie last night and they had match point in the doubles and they didn't end up winning it.
I think you could well be right. I think Cathy Rinaldi carried over that energy that she was displaying right at the end of the doubles that that you described last night, where she sort of clenched her bicep at at her players, and it was that spirit and energy that both Stevens and in particular Collins brought to the court today. I've never seen a discrepancy like that. I don't think I've ever seen a player have 0% of their shots hit inside the court. I mean, that is staggering that it was like that for so long. You know, a whole set not even having a shot inside the court. Just utter dominance from Collins. And yeah, quite the turnaround for the USA within 24 hours.
What about Sloane Stephens? Because she won in rather more routine fashion, I suppose, on the scoreline. Straight sets, but not as one-sided. And I know you spoke to her afterwards as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting match. 12 breaks of serve in the two sets between them. It always felt like Stephens would win, but she just couldn't quite shake off her opponent, who was Nuria Parithas, who came in. She's had a sort of really solid season, got a lot of wins at some of the lower levels, is up at pretty much a career high ranking now. And the one thing Stephens said, I asked her about the new format. This was her first taste of the new format. And she said, yeah, it's pretty weird, honestly, playing a national competition where neither team is in their home country. That was her first experience of that. And she said she found the hardest thing being only finding out her opponent an hour in advance, you know, because I think she was perhaps maybe preparing for Suarez Navarro, who had played Spain's first match. So it took a little bit of time to adjust. But yeah, I thought she played well. It was a tricky match. There was one moment where she sort of turned the momentum with an incredible defensive lob in the second set, and that sort of really got her going. She got really fired up. And generally impressed, she was in a good mood. I sort of took the opportunity to ask her a bit more about her season generally, because I think we've felt with Stevens that she's been on the verge of something a lot this year, you know, about to put something together when she beat Kvitova at Wimbledon or Keys and Goff at the US Open and Pliskova and Mukova at the French Open. She's had some really good wins and she's just not quite turned them into title runs as she has done in the past. So I just said, you know, have you felt that yourself? And she said, yeah, I have. And she went back to the start of the season where it was a dark time in her life. And, you know, she was at a crossroads, I think, actually, in terms of how much to commit to the sport. And she really made the decision to commit fully. And I think recognizing that it would take her time, the results wouldn't come straight away. But she seems in a much better place, I think, than she was at the start of the year. She has had some good results. And, you know, we've said it a lot, but I think tennis is a better, even better place when Stevens is healthy and happy and playing well, because I love watching her play. And yeah, there've been some signs this year that more good things to come from Sloane Stephens.
And you would think more will come from her in this particular competition now that they're into the semifinals and she's won that. I know Shelby Rogers got the nod on day one, and I mean, wasn't a good performance from her yesterday, really. And I mean, she's capable of very good things, Rogers, but you'd probably expect that you're not going to change this team now, are you? I mean, their next match is going to be on Friday, so there's a day in between. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I mean, I do think they have a long look at the matchups, don't they? And, you know, if it falls that Shelby Rogers has got a really good head-to-head over, you know, whoever her opponent will be in the semifinals or who they expect it to be, maybe that could swing it. But I agree. There was something a bit off with Shelby Rogers yesterday. It wasn't a great performance from her, and Stevens wasn't at her best, but she got the job done, got the win. You feel like she'll take some confidence from that. So, and obviously you're not going to drop Danielle Collins after the way she's been playing. So yeah, I think you're right. I think we probably will see Stevens and Collins in the semis for the US.
And against
Russia.
because that was the match that was played earlier on in the day today, and sort of a fairly similar position, wasn't it? Because France needed to win that tie 3-0, didn't mm-hmm. they, in order to get through. And I mean, they came out swinging. They really came out swinging. And so the first rubber was won by Clara Burrell, and she beat Ekaterina Alexandrova. And then the second match was an absolute humdinger, wasn't it? I mean, it was ultimately won by Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, who defeated Elise Cornet in the third set. So that put the Russian team, who incidentally, why are they called RTF rather than Russia on the sort of the scoreboard?
I believe it's the same reason that they were the Russian Olympic Committee in Tokyo. I believe it's this ban that Russia have got due to their drugs offences in the recent past, that they're not allowed to be called Russia in these national competitions. But yeah, officially it's the Russian Tennis Federation who is competing at this Billie Jean King Cup finals.
yes. But anyway, Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova did the job, and she somehow held off Cornet. I mean, just given her insight, I mean, I watched that the first set of that, and Cornet, I don't quite know how, but she won the first set of that match, and it was just a tug of war. And then I had to go away and do something else, and the next thing I know, Pavlyuchenkova's 2-love up in the third set, and it looks like it's all going to go quite straightforwardly for her thereafter. And then suddenly Cornet's breaking back again, and there's drop shots being thrown in, and there's angst everywhere all over the court. I mean, what was it like to be there for that match?
It was fantastic. It almost felt wrong. You know, it felt like it was a sort of best kept secret because there weren't that many people in the stadium, you know, as we've been talking about. And yet there was this incredible tennis match going on before us. And I think everyone who was there, you know, really did witnessed something special. Julien Beneteau, the French captain, said he thinks it's one of the best matches he's seen this year, you know, even though it ended in defeat for his player. And yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think it was an interesting day overall because I went into it thinking that the drama and the excitement would come in the second tie. I didn't have particularly high hopes for Russia versus France as a tie. And in the end, it was USA versus Spain that was a bit of a blowout. And the morning session, yeah, it morphed into something really exhilarating. I thought to begin with, Igor Andreev might have dropped a bit of a clanger in resting Daria Kasatkina. That was sort of the big surprise when the lineups were revealed. As you said, Alexandrova came in instead. My understanding of his explanation was that he wanted to give Alexandrova a match. You know, she hadn't played in the first match, so that she had some rhythm in case they needed her later in the tournament, which I guess I can understand. But I mean, it's not like she hasn't played recently. She was, you know, she was playing 10 days ago in the Kremlin Cup. But I think that's one of the interesting things about having a very deep squad. You know, you do have to make decisions as a captain. Almost, I sometimes think it might be easier sometimes if you've only got two players and that decision is taken away from you. But obviously depth is a good thing to have. But anyway, so Burrell got the win over Alexandrova in a match with 17 breaks of serve. First time Burrell's ever beaten the top 50 player after 8 previous defeats. She did really, really well to win that match, you know, knowing she had to win to keep France alive. It was her Billie Jean King Cup singles debut. I thought she was excellent. And then it really did set up Cornet versus Pavlyuchenkova. And Cornet, as you said, was just in her element, you know, just bringing her intensity, which you expect from Cornet, but it just seemed heightened and she was sort of ready for the fight and got that first set. And then the second set and the third set were quite similar. Pavlyuchenkova went up a double break in both of them. And both times Cornet fought back one break of serve, but couldn't quite fight back to get the double break back. But it was outstanding. The quality was brilliant. As you said, lots of drop shots. And yeah, I think Cornet's a really effortful player, isn't she? You see the effort she's putting in, you hear the effort she's putting in. And honestly, her brilliance sort of just inspired Pavlyuchenkova to go on to do even greater things as well. They just sort of kept pushing each other. And yeah, it was a fantastic, fantastic contest.
And you really saw what it meant to them both, which is what I loved about it. I mean, these are two players that are, you know, fairly long in the tooth for players now these days. They've been around for a long time, both of them, and they're out on the feet at the end. And you could see just how much it meant to Pavlyuchenkova. I mean, Matt afterwards did basically a one-on-one at the press conference with Pavlyuchenkova. Let's just have a listen to it, because it tells you everything you need to know.
Anastasia, well done. That was a very special match. Can you describe how you're feeling and what you thought the difference was today?
Thank you. Well, I'm really, really tired right now, because I gave it all out there physically and emotionally, actually. In the end of the second set, I even felt like I didn't have much voice left, because I was screaming and... Because I didn't feel actually so great before the match, and in the first set I was a bit slow for some reason. I think because yesterday was also quite emotional and, you know, tough match, three-set match, and then today to start again took me some time. But in the end I found this amazing energy, and I was in that sort of zone and vibe that... I think that's the beauty of our sport, and you don't get a chance to actually witness that in every match, unfortunately. I mean, thanks to Alize, she pushed and pulled a lot of those out of me, thanks to her as well, and I think that was amazing, incredible fighting spirit match.
There were lots of moments in the match where it was very tight, very tense. Obviously, she won the first set. France had all the momentum from the first match. I think it had been a while since you'd won a match after losing the first set. Were you panicking at all at any stage, or did you manage to actually stay quite calm and confident?
No, I wasn't panicking. I was panicking a little bit in the first set, actually, when... beginning of the first set, I think I was 4-2 down, and at some point I thought I wouldn't be able to maintain this level throughout the whole match, and because I know Alize is very competitive, tough opponent, and the surface is very slow, and you need to play like hours and long rallies, and so that moment I wasn't sure about that, but then in the end, you know, I lost the first set, and I said to myself, I'm not alone here. I also play for my country and my team. They're supporting me. And I've said, doesn't matter. It's only one set. The match includes three sets. So then it means I'll have to play three sets. And then I'm going to give everything out there, but I'm not losing this. Because I said, I didn't want to have the deciding doubles match and be like this in the box. So, I'm just also proud of myself with the way I pulled this victory.
You said afterwards on the court that you were like tigers out there, and you've just said it again now about there was no way you were going to lose this match. How rare is it? Obviously, you're an amazing competitor, but how rare is it to have that feeling?
Yeah, I think I think the key for that also is that this competition is very different. I have this special energy from my teammates and from the team on the side. The crowd is more lively, you know, everything is more lively and you have more energy. And that's what's missing, I think, when I play a singles tournament. Especially, I was struggling a lot. I struggle with the bubble and no crowd. And even now we have a little bit of crowd, but still it's not the same. I miss that atmosphere, and I think that's important for me to have that. And, you know, yesterday, girls actually, even Dasha, she wasn't sure. She asked me, do you mind if I shout? And I said, of course, please go ahead. Because she said, okay, I saw you gave me that look. I was like, it wasn't for you. And, you know, they weren't sure, should we just go full or not? But I prefer, I'm this kind of person that I need this energy to play.
We saw you dancing afterwards with Dasha. Can you talk about the relationship you have with her? It seems pretty special. It seems you're on the similar wavelength. You understand each other.
Yeah, I think we have a similar vibe. I just need to have fun on the court and off the court. I think a lot of girls, they afraid, like even on practice, during practice, I don't mind to have a little bit of a laugh. And you know, you work hard, but you're also a human being. I mean, it's fine. You're allowed to smile or laugh during your practice or during the match. It doesn't mean that you're not fighting or not giving your best, you know. So I think some people, some girls, they are afraid of that, or they forget that it's allowed, actually. I mean, or at least be yourself. So I'm just being myself, and that's how I feel. That's how I express myself. I feel like dancing, so I dance, you know. And Dasha is the same, and I think when she's around me, she's allowed herself to do that a little bit more, because I see her sometimes, I think she wants to do it, but she's not sure because nobody else is doing that. Where with me, she just feels more comfortable, I think, and that's great to have her around here, especially.
You know, I've been watching Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova for well over 10 years, Matt, and I remember when she was the world number one junior, and I remember when she came on the scene and she was this big hitter that everybody was expected to break through, and a lot of the time I've sort of been a little bit underwhelmed by some of her Grand Slam achievements, certainly, and then this year suddenly she's had this big moment where she's reached the Roland Garros final, and I think that's fantastic that she had that. But to hear her talk with you about what that match was like in front of not many people, and she's admitting there that she loves a crowd, mm-hmm. and yet here she is just fighting tooth and nail as though she's in the Roland Garros final again. I mean, I think that tells you everything you need to know about what this event does to people, this type of event, playing for your country. And I mean, look, it should be so much more than that, I think. I think that's why I want the whole of tennis to get together and make these team events a priority. I want the tours and the Grand Slams and the ITF and everybody who's involved to just get together and bottle that match and stick it in front of the biggest crowd imaginable, stick it in a fantastic part of the calendar, because that's what you can get. That's what you invariably get in these tournaments. I mean, you know, you were privileged to be able to witness it close up and then talk to her afterwards. I'm just really glad we got to play that, because I feel like I've learned something about Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova in that chat with you that I didn't really know. After all these years, you know, after all these years, I feel like I've just got to know her a bit.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was fortunate to have the time with her and the access to sort of go pretty deep there. And look, I couldn't agree more. I think a team event with players competing for their country should be the best thing in tennis. You know, it really should. I think you see it on the faces of the losing teams, just how much it means and how much it hurts, but also how much they enjoy just competing together. And you see it on the reactions of the players on court, how much they want to win for their team, for their country. I thought it was really great to hear from Pavlyuchenkova. I loved her answer about her relationship with Kasatkina. Just thought that was such a positive message she sent there, you know, in terms of, you know, surround yourself with people who lift you up and, you know, with people who you can be yourself around. And I think she sort of taken Kasatkina under her wing a little bit and brings out Kasatkina's personality when they're together, and they were, you know, they were dancing on the court together and just having a great time. There's a really nice connection between them. They go back, you know, 5 or 6 years now.
She's going to end up in that team, isn't she, Kasatkina, for that match against the States?
I think so. I mean, yeah, as I said, I guess I can understand Andreev giving Alexandrova a run out in case Kasatkina gets an injury or something. And in the end, it was a decision which worked because they won the tie and Alexandrova got some match time. But I think Kasatkina has to be the choice going forward.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey.
If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. So disappointment for France, of course, Matt, and Caroline Garcia didn't get to play in the end.
No, she didn't. I think the French journalist I spoke to on Monday was right. You know, his hunch was that Garcia wouldn't play. I think that injury was perhaps worse than we knew. Just interesting going to their press conference in defeat. You know, as I said, I think the fact it hurts is good, actually, because for France, I think it shows that they are perhaps warming to the new format. It will take some time for them to be fully convinced, but you know, the whole point of this event is that you feel things: joy winning together, sadness losing together. And France definitely had that this week. They were proud of the way they fought today. And you know, Cornet said in French, this is my translation, but she said, "What I experienced today on the court was no less powerful than what I felt in the other format." And you know, she has played in front of huge crowds, and obviously that's the dream. You want this event to be in front of huge crowds, but the very fact of competing for your country still matters to these players. And I just thought it was an interesting insight from the losing team there, just how much they do care about it.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. So what have we got tomorrow, Matt? Because we know one semi-final, the United States against the Russian Tennis Federation. but what about the other semi-final possibilities, I suppose, that are going to be decided tomorrow?
Yeah, so we've got a complicated one in the morning involving some maths you'll be delighted to hear, David.
Oh, great. I'll leave that with you then.
That's Australia versus Belarus. Actually, for Australia, it's simple. If they win, they're through. And if they lose, they're out. What's complicated is that if Belarus win, they're not necessarily through. A 3-0 win will take them through. And a 2-1 win, if they lose no more than two sets, will take them through. Otherwise, a 2-1 win and losing more sets will mean that Belgium go through.
Right.
Don't worry, I won't be testing you on that in the morning. I will be constantly referring to my notes throughout the day for that. In the evening, however, it's simple and it should be brilliant. It is Czech Republic versus Switzerland. Winner goes through.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait.
And there's obviously some unanswered questions over Krejcikova's fitness. You know, we saw her injured and fatigued on Monday, whereas Switzerland looked brilliant against Germany. Pencic looked in great form. Golubic played. Teichmann could play. So that is the one tomorrow, I think.
Mm. You may be wondering where Catherine Whittaker is tonight. She's not actually presenting TV, which is going on at the moment with the Paris tournament. Catherine is at a big fancy awards ceremony tonight because she and the rest of the Amazon Prime Video team were up for the best sports production of the year for their US Open coverage, and quite rightly so. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic coverage. We're a bit biased because it's Catherine, but you know, she led the whole thing and was amazing. And so anyway, we don't know if she's won or not. She's a winner as far as we're concerned regardless, though, right, Matt?
Absolutely. Yeah. Even without the award, but yes. Also, you know, would be nice.
We're crossing everything. We've never won anything this lot. But, you know, one day we're going to win everything. We're going to win the lot. Anyway, fingers crossed for Catherine. On the subject of Paris, just quickly before we go, the battle for the remaining two spots in Turin are just getting fascinating. Cameron Norrie today beat Riley Opelka in straight sets. Very good performance, I thought. But so were Hubert Hurkacz, who won today, and Casper Ruud. And apparently, with the loss of Yannick Sinner today, I think he's out of the equation. He lost to Carlos Alcaraz in a match I kind of wish I'd seen, I must say.
We'll get to see that.
Yeah, we'll see that a few more
20
times.
20 more times.
Yes, hopefully. Two out of three will go through. I mean, I think Norrie is very much the underdog because he's going to have to he's got to win tomorrow, and that would put him into the quarterfinals, and I think he's probably even got to win the quarterfinal because then it's likely to be Novak Djokovic. So good luck with that. anyway, it'll be fascinating, really, to see what ends up happening in Paris, and we will bring all of the news to you when we get it over the next few days. We'll have another tennis podcast tomorrow evening. We have our executive producer Chris Albert Lee. We have our mascot. Who's our mascot for the week, Matt? It's two cats, isn't it? I'm getting all my words wrong. It's two cats.
Yes, Samson and Chester, who featured in our newsletter today. Sign up to that. They were looking resplendent.
Yes, they certainly were. Yeah, sign up to the newsletter, quite right. We have our own individual mascots. Mine is Rogue. Matt's is Scousel Mousel. Catherine's is Zeus. Get on our Instagram page if you want to see all of Catherine's snapshots from awards night, because we're putting them all over the Instagram page. And yeah, we'll be back with another tennis podcast tomorrow night after play. Loving watching the Billie Jean King Cup. We're hoping Matt might run into Billie Jean King at some point. That would be something, wouldn't it? And we'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for your company tonight. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.